Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. The all-new Opel Mokka. With a new visor front face and pure panel interior, this is Opel.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Our own Brian O'Connell joins us now. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, Claire. How are you?
I'm good. You want to tell us this morning about this new community air ambulance helicopter. It's based in North Cork, and you're going to tell us about some of the incredible life-saving operations it will be involved in.
Yes, well, the Irish Community Air Ambulance, it's based in Racoole Aerodrome, which is about 20 minutes from Mallow in North Cork. It's the first charity service of its kind here in the Republic, and it's been reliant on public donations. So it established in July 2019. They've responded to 1,000 incidents almost, and we're going to hear two of them shortly. But I suppose the reason I was at their base yesterday was because tomorrow they're launching a new helicopter. It's the fastest civilian helicopter in the world, and it's going to enable the service to respond faster, to go longer without refueling, which is very important, and to give a more comfortable experience for patients. So essentially, this is going to bring a population in a 25,000 square kilometre region within half an hour of emergency medical care. If you look at the kind of cases they're tasked to, cardiac arrests account for most of the incidents so far this year. Then it's road traffic collisions and farming accidents. And their new helicopter, I'm told, it travels at 300 kilometres an hour, and it can go from Mizzen to Malin Head. That's a journey that would take about 8 hours in a car. They can do it in 90 minutes.
Invaluable. And I know some funding issues persist. We'll get to those. But always with these kinds of services, Brian, there are incredible human interest stories.
Incredible stories. I'll bring you the story shortly of a 19-year-old woman whose life was saved. But firstly, while I was at the base yesterday in North Cork, I was witness, Claire, to a very special reunion when farmer and teacher Tom Quinlan, he's from Galbalee in County Limerick, he walked in the door to meet advanced paramedic Paul Trainer, and he was one of a team who helped save Tom's life. This was the first time they'd met since Tom had a farm accident.
I'm here because of you. But like, you just did such a calm and influence in the whole thing. That's what stopped it. You know, it made such a difference to us.
Yeah, yeah.
This is your first time meeting since?
First time, yeah.
Tell me what happened, Tom.
Myself and my son, we were after cutting a big tree. The tree spun, kicked, and all I know was I got a bed built, and it was instantaneous then. You know, I was trapped. I was trapped under it then. No, my body was in shock. Why I'm here really is that, like, I'm from a rural community. All of us are the same. We love the rural, but you when you need the services, you're a long ways away from. And I believe that it was the work of these men that made all that difference to me. Like, and that's why I'm here. It's a bit emotional, really, you know, like...
Can you remember the call?
Yeah, I can remember it quite well, yeah. Myself and Peter DeLay were on together. We knew that we were going to a serious call, like, you know, tree falling on somebody. It's not going to be a shrub. It's going to be a proper tree. Tom was alert and he was talking to us, but he wasn't moving around a lot. He had a look of concern on his face, and we just... started to work. So,
and the key thing then is intervening when you did, is ensuring that, I mean, he's walking, bouncing around the place today, you know. It's,
yeah, he literally bounced in the door. I was surprised. I was expecting a hobble or a crutch still at this stage, so you've done very well. But our main concern was that this tree had landed on his pelvis. So we spoke to Tom, we spoke to the witnesses that were there. There's some very large blood vessels in your pelvis. We gave him a very strong painkiller. Delighted to see Tom bouncing in the door now like a spring lamb.
Have you cut any trees since?
Not yet. Not yet. I was messing with the... I work in Dunkelaher, and I was messing with them. You know, they'd be great to send down a few flowers. I says, lads, a 22-inch chain would be great.
Tom, you don't need a new chainsaw.
Not at all.
Such a great outcome there, though, Brian. And that sounded like a very serious situation. And you also spoke to a young woman who you mentioned earlier. Tell us about her case.
Well, Clodagh Lynch is from Bantry in West Cork. Just turned 21. Now, last May, when she was 19, she was outside her home and she collapsed and suffered a sudden cardiac arrest. So I spoke to Clodagh earlier this week and she recounted what happened.
Last year on the 30th of May, I was talking to my mother and then I suddenly stopped. I was after having a cardiac arrest.
What's the next thing you remembered?
I suppose waking up in hospital a couple of weeks later. So I was in a coma for 10 days, but then I was out of it then for another 10 days. So I lived down in Bantry. So my mom is a nurse, so she started CPR immediately. My brother kind of happened to be driving down on the scene and she alerted him and he was able to ring the ambulance services.
Bantry is about an hour and a half, I suppose, from the CUH, from your nearest major trauma centre.
Yeah.
A decision was taken then to send the air ambulance down. Do you have any idea how long it took to get to you?
I think it was about 13 minutes.
13 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, they were working on me for a good bit. Took a good few shocks to get me back.
It must be surreal talking about it, Clodagh. I know you've no memory of it.
I'm only saying what I've been told. In one sense, it's good not to be able to remember it.
Obviously, if the air ambulance wasn't there,
I wouldn't be here.
We wouldn't be having this conversation.
No, I don't think so. It's an invaluable service for the people of rural communities, especially like me, aren't able to get to the major hospitals in a short period of time.
And how's your health now?
Just fine. I have a few issues with my memory, all right, but that's about it.
So did you have heart surgery then in the end?
I did. I got a device implanted for it, so it's called an ICD.
Is this similar to what Christian Eriksen, the soccer player, would have had?
Yeah.
Has it changed your outlook on life?
It has. You never know when you're going to die, like.
Especially at 19, it's the last thing you're thinking about.
Like, you wouldn't take things for granted as much.
So that's Clodagh Lynch in Bantry. Now, she has very little memory, as she said, as to what happened. But as it happens, Claire, advanced paramedic Paul Trainer, he told me he was also present at Clodagh's incident. So he talked to me about that incident and a little bit more about the day-to-day work with ICAA.
So generally, we're going to things like road traffic collisions, cardiac arrests, falls from heights, patients having heart attacks or what we call myocardial infarction.
And you got one such call not too long ago, a young woman.
So, yes, about this time last year, myself and James, my colleague who just walked in there, were on duty here with Donna Verling, our chief pilot, and we got tasked to a call down in the Bantry area for a girl 19 years of age who had a witnessed cardiac arrest in her home, which is where we know about 70% of cardiac arrests occur in the home. We were part of a really complete, very solid chain of survival for that girl. Landed in the field next door to the house, got in. The girl, Clodagh, was still in cardiac arrest at that stage. All her family standing around, mechanical CPR device on her chest, had been given, I think, about 7 defibrillation shocks at that point. We got her heart restarted for a minute or two, very soon after we arrived. Her heart then stopped beating effectively again. We ended up defibrillating her a number of other times and getting her heart restarted a second time. From putting her in the aircraft to walking in the door of the emergency department took about 25 minutes.
Incredible.
Yeah, it was one of those stories, one of those calls that will stay with us for a long time.
I know when you arrive on scene, and I know having done lots of reports with ambulance service over the years, that you have to, in a way, emotionally detach yourself from it. But then when you look back, it's a 19-year-old woman with her whole life ahead of her.
The air ambulance played a crucial role in her survival, because if we had to drive her from her home to CUH, that was an hour and 15 minutes where more things could have potentially gone wrong for her, whereby being able to get advanced care to her very early into the cardiac arrest and then being able to get her back up to definitive care in Cork University Hospital very early were two crucial elements into her survival.
Great outcome for Clodagh. And Brian, there's been lots of uncertainty about how the service is to be funded. It gets no direct government support presently.
That's correct. What it does get is staff and support from the National Ambulance Service. So that's provided as part of an agreement. But the costs, including, as you can imagine, the maintenance of the aircraft, leasing, very substantial costs. So they're reliant on fundraising and philanthropic donations at present. There is a question mark over the long-term funding. There has been uncertainty really since they launched.
And there's hope that the government will step in.
Well, I suppose this is the long-term hope. They are in talks with government. They're engaged in a strategic review that's in consultation with government. I met with CEO Micheál Sheridan, and we talked firstly about the need for this service in general, even though we do, of course, have the National Ambulance Service and the Air Corps. So this is Micheál, Claire, taking me into the hangar to see the new helicopter, which, as I said, goes into service tomorrow.
Inside here, you have a hangar that houses two helicopters, known here as Shell S and HEM Z. HEM-Z is our new air ambulance helicopter. It arrived over the weekend.
How much would one of these set me back?
So if you were to buy one of these new, it'd cost you about €4.8 million. So we're not at that stage yet. So what we do is we're currently leasing these from a, a company called Sloan Helicopters. They're UK-based and soon to be Irish-based.
The need for a service like this, I mean, the model is unique in Ireland, but it's not unique in the UK, so it's a charity-based model.
Wales is a really good example. Wales has a population of about 3.2 million people and has four charity-funded air ambulances. So that's one for every 800,000 people. We have one charity-funded air ambulance in the country, and that is for 5 million people. We work in tandem with the National Ambulance Service, and also obviously the likes of the Air Corps are involved as well in the delivery of an air ambulance service. You know, we have ambition, but we want to do it in tandem and in partnership with the system. We're not going to play outside of the system. We're going to respond to what's
needed.
Yeah,
because one of the issues I think I remember before is that the service was set up, and there's no one denying that it's not needed, but that it was almost put back onto the HSE to fund it, or it was put back onto government, because the funding model meant that you were having to go to the public, essentially, to fund it.
I think one of the things that happened here is that the organisation was a small organisation historically. It took on this model, the air ambulance model, and suddenly took on a cost of about €1.5 million. And then COVID came, and the two just collided. So we have support at government level in terms of there's no denying the impact that the service is having. But what we're trying to do is we're trying to raise money for a €1.5 million service in the middle of COVID, having come out of being a small organisation. So that's why we're really pushing very hard for people to support us. We're having lots of really positive conversations with the public and also with a lot of companies out there.
But will it need government support to survive?
I think government funding would be really helpful. I think the alternative is that we're hand to mouth. What government funding would do for the next couple of years is it would help us to build out a model that would allow us to be sustainable on our own in the future.
That's Michael Sheridan there, CEO of the Community Air Ambulance, talking to Brian O'Connell. And if you would like to support them, they're going to be at 1,000 missions in just a few weeks. communityairambulance.ie is the website. That's communityairambulance.ie. Coming up next, film and TV fans, we have ideas for a great day out for you after this.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.